just confirmed with a senior transition source that we expect Sonny Perdue, the former Republican governor of Georgia, will be nominated as agriculture secretary. He was likely to be the pick, significant because he's the last person in the cabinet picked, and they are pushing hard in the Trump transition to get all these people confirmed.
When you have a real crisis, or when you have very strong signals, as we have received from the voters, from people who say no, it's really time to say, what policies do we have in place? What more can we do? What education, training do we have in place in order to respond, not necessarily to globalization, but to the technologies that are going to completely disrupt and change the working place for a long time?
At my core, I think we're going to be okay. We just have to fight for it. We have to work for it and not take it for granted. And I know that you will help us do that. Thank you very much, Press Corps. Good luck.
WGN Radio's daily conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is The Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
Good morning, everyone. It is 5:08. Today is Thursday. It's January 19th, 2017. Glad to have you along for another edition of The Opening Bell, another business day. Lots to talk about today. If you like going on a vacation somewhere warm, maybe a little adventure to Mexico, perhaps, or somewhere else around the world, later in the show, we're going to be talking about that. There's a travel show, an adventure show that's in the Chicago area this week, and we'll be giving you some ideas, perhaps, about where you might want to go explore the world. And also later this hour, we're going to be talking with our thought leader, Don Lloyd, from Associated Bank. That's coming up momentarily. The world currency markets are concerning and worrisome to some, and we'll try to straighten it out. If it's a mystery to you, you might find some answers, so stay with us. But first, on the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk this morning, Dow futures are off about 27 points. S&P and NASDAQ futures are lower as well. Around the globe, European shares mainly lower this morning. The DAX in Germany off about 15 points. The FTSE off about 50 points. In Asia, the Nikkei was up, but the rest of the markets are mixed. Overseas. This morning, oil is trading at $51.41 a barrel. Yesterday on the stock market, Wall Street posted sort of a list. They had a listless day yesterday just ahead of the Trump inauguration. The S&P rose about 4 points. The Dow Jones slipped about 22. The NASDAQ added about 16 points. Shares meandering, as I mentioned, around the globe this morning in Asia, especially. The World Economic Forum continues in Davos. You heard Davos. You heard in the opening montage there, Christine Lagarde. She is the head of the IMF, the International Monetary Fund. She told members there yesterday that the world does have a problem with populism, or at least a concern over it. Finding the solution is the hard part. She is suggesting a list of policies, from programs to retrain workers to find more spending. Others are also fretting about the turbulence of having so many new world leaders on the world stage and so many rich people in the world. You heard that study from Oxfam earlier this year. About 9 men in the world have about as much wealth as the bottom half of the entire globe. President-elect Donald Trump intends to nominate former Georgia Governor Sonny Perdue as Agriculture Secretary. This, according to a person familiar with the decision. This was reported by Reuters about a week ago. Now the Associated Press is also reporting this. There had been some talk earlier this week that his name may have been now pulled back, but it looks like he is going to be the guy. 70 years old, would be the first Southerner to lead the Agriculture Department in more than two decades. And, of course, we'll be following that story very closely. With the ag news coming up and commodity news with Orion Samuelson later in the opening bell. Have you been watching the world currency markets with a little bit of concern and trepidation? The market does not like this worrisome time. It doesn't like uncertainty. And we have lots of questions about what's happening not only in China, but in Mexico and here in the United States with the dollar and the yen and the euro. Who better to bring in than Don Lloyd? He's the Senior Vice President and Manager of Capital Markets at Associated Bank, oversees the foreign exchange, rate swaps, and commodity derivatives. And Don is with us this morning. Don, welcome back to the opening bell. So I have to start with the China situation. We saw the head of China, the leader of China, speak to the World Economic Forum in Davos. It was kind of surprising to see him there.
China is becoming the world leader when it comes to open markets and free trade, and we're sort of in a new paradigm here. The whole Davos thing, great idea, great concept. It's been going on for decades. Let's have open discussions about free trade and, you know, the future and whatnot. Unfortunately, the backdrop is everybody's guarded. Everybody's defenses are up. Walls are coming up. Everybody's talking about protectionism and whatnot. So not exactly an environment conducive of open discussion that's really going to go much of anywhere. If anything, it was a platform for the politicians and the real players to get on and sort of voice their opinions and their concerns, particularly around exchange rates and whatnot. And that's going to dominate the forefront of the markets for a while anyway.
But I've heard a lot of people diminishing what the Chinese leader said. Is that kind of dangerous for us to do that?
Is dangerous for us to do that. I mean, the foreign exchange markets and exchange rates, you know, are the mechanisms by which prices adjust in international trade. And to sit there and take a protectionist view through tariffs or through fees or charges or whatnot is a very dangerous road to go down. When you have the Chinese that are sitting there advocating open markets and free trade and let's not, you know, get too hung up on exchange rates as far as their manipulation goes or whatnot, those are not good for free trade. Those are not good for international markets. You know, the example I always use is when you take a look at China, and China sort of have put themselves in this box over the last 20 or 30 years, and it's interesting to see how they're trying to get out of it, at least verbally. You know, if you're in the United States and you're going to buy a bicycle, you can buy a bicycle in the United States for $100, or you can buy that bicycle in China for $50. You're going to buy that bike for $50 in China. And as you take your dollars and either convert those to Chinese yuan or send those dollars over to China for someone else to convert them to the local currency of Chinese yuan, that's going to cause that exchange rate to change. It's going to create a demand for the Chinese yuan. The Chinese yuan is going to appreciate. And as the Chinese yuan appreciates, as that conversion occurs, it's going to take more U.S. dollars to buy the Chinese yuan to buy that bicycle, and hence the price of that bicycle goes from $50 to $60 to $70. And the foreign exchange market is the whole pricing mechanism of which prices adjust on a global basis. And when China comes in and up through 2005 fixed that exchange rate, where it did not allow the exchange rate, the Chinese yuan, to float freely, that pricing mechanism, that adjustment mechanism, wasn't allowed to occur. And that's what occurred through 2005. And everybody loved $50 bicycles. They bought them, they bought them, they bought them, they sent those dollars over. And now China sits with $3 trillion of U.S. dollar reserves, all because of this huge inflow of money going into China. So American politicians complain a little bit. You know, they say it's putting American workers out of work and it's, you know, there's all this overseas demand. Relax your markets. And China's excuse was, oh, our markets aren't mature enough yet. They're not ready to handle all of this yet. It's going to take time. So they let the currency start to float a little bit, but within parameters. Mm-hmm. And they control it. And that's what they've been doing ever since. And politicians, be careful, because it's great front page news to say, I'm going to stand up for the American worker and work. But you know what? We like our $50 bicycles. You know, we don't like our $100 bicycles. We like inexpensive goods. And what's going to happen is going to be this balance that's going to occur between putting American workers back to work as we move things back into the U.S. and prices that are going to start to rise. So what do you want? Do you want bicycles that cost more money? Or you want the American worker working? Or you want some combination of the both? And it's just funny to watch China sort of lead the world now on the verbal page, saying open markets, you know, there's nothing wrong with foreign exchange markets and that world trade should flow freely. And that's sort of where we are right now.
Don, hang with us. We'll continue our pre-dawn business conversation, the thought leader conversation for this Thursday edition of The Opening Bell. Don Lloyd from Associated Bank. He's the Senior Vice President Manager of Capital Markets there. We'll have more after we check traffic. The dollar, by the way, gained almost 1% from Thursday's lows overnight against a basket of currencies around the world.
From ABC News, Wall Street Now. After a post-election rally, markets are listless ahead of Friday's inauguration. The S&P 500 rose 4 points yesterday. The Dow slipped 22 to 19,804. The Nasdaq Composite added 17. J.P. Morgan Chase has agreed to pay $55 million to settle claims that independent brokers working with the bank discriminated against Black and Hispanic borrowers applying for home mortgages during the housing crisis. And now the Labor Department separately has filed suit saying Chase discriminated against its female workers. American Airlines will soon offer basic economy tickets similar to those available at Delta and soon to be matched by United Airlines. No upgrades, no seat assignments, and no overhead baggage space, and you'll be in the last group to board. And the cost of a forever stamp is going back to 49 cents. The price had fallen to 47 cents in April, but the U.S. Postal Service says the reduction has exacerbated its financial bleeding and will be scrapped on Sunday. Jim Ryan, ABC News.
You're listening to The Opening Bell on 720 WGN.
Good morning. Welcome back to the program. Our thought leader conversation continues this morning. Don Lloyd is in from Associated Bank. He's the senior vice president and manager of capital markets, oversees the foreign exchange, rate swaps, commodity, derivative, et cetera. And Don, before the break, we were talking a little bit about Davos, but I was struck this week by the speech by the Great Britain, UK Prime Minister, Theresa May, on Brexit. She has told everybody it's going to be a hard Brexit. How is that impacting markets worldwide?
Has made absolutely no bones about what her intention is. Maybe he's going to slow it down a little bit so companies over in the UK can transition a little bit more, but has basically said there's no middle road here. This is an exit. We're going to break, and we're coming out of this thing. And there isn't going to be any of this hybrid, well, we're going to stay connected in these two or three areas, but this is going to be a total break. And you're already seeing France now. They're starting to talk quite a bit now about taking a look at exiting. So that's just going to continue to snowball. All of this creates uncertainty, you know, and that's what sort of worries me from a overall perspective when it comes to the markets. It creates uncertainty. And if the markets, you know, if they don't like one thing, it's certainly, you know, uncertainty and unpredictability. And you've got President-elect Trump coming in. He's going to install his programs, whether it's repealing Obamacare. That's uncertainty. Tariff wars, uncertainty. The Brexit thing, a little bit more certain, but the timing, but who's going to follow behind it? Uncertainty. The markets are going to react to that. You know, they're going to have to react to that. The key is to watch the currency exchange rates to see where that money is going to flow from and where it's going to flow into. Just my opinion of what to look forward to over the next 3 to 6 months.
And then there's the Trump argument about weakening the dollar, and the former Treasury Secretary Summers telling Davos also that this is really confusing the market. Are you seeing a confused market right now?
We are. And if you take a look back at the last time we were sort of in this environment, it goes back to 1985 and the Plaza Accord. And Plaza Accord was when major countries got together and they basically said an exchange rate policy should exist, you know, to help inefficiencies in a more efficient market. Exchange rate policies should be in line with overall economic policies of countries to sit there and address deficiencies and help promote those countries that need to create, need to produce more, need to get more involved in it. An exchange rate mechanism should allow that. The U.S. doesn't really move wholeheartedly into that. You know, if anything, our central bank, the Federal Reserve, likes to remain out of that and let exchange rates find their own value, if you will. But again, I can sort of see a 1985 Plaza Accord and some agreement coming out. Now, how much teeth it has to it, don't know. The environment certainly is ripe for that.
I heard Vice President Biden tell the Davos Forum as well that there has been this progressive world order that is threatened with collapse as we move forward. What does he mean by that?
I've heard that. What I think is there's a whole sense out there of inequality in the world. You have the haves and you have the have-nots. And the new world order is to sit there and take from the haves, give to the have-nots, and let's improve the world as a whole. And that's great at a 100,000-foot level, at some level up there. And if we can't do that, the polarization between the haves and the have-nots is going to just stretch thinner and thinner and thinner. And at some point, it could possibly snap. and by snapping, who knows how that's going to show itself. When that happens, could there be a collapse? Sure. You know, whether that's big, whether that's small, there is going to be pain. There is going to be suffering at some point. That's what I think he means by all of that. So, you know, the New World Order is, let's address that. Let's sit there and make a smoother world between the haves and the have-nots, and let's elevate everybody's game. Sort of contrary to what capitalism is all about, you know, and that's sort of where the rub comes. You know, you're either a capitalist and I work for my living and, you know, I create my own wealth and I can do with my wealth what I want, and let the other guy worry about himself or herself. Or the other side of the equation, which is we are human. You know, let's help the whole world out here.
You know, throughout history, the let them eat cake routine hasn't had a good ending.
No, it has not. And again, would be very interesting to see what kind of stresses occur that will create, you know, I won't say uprising, but let's just say more protests, more vocalization of these concerns. You know, I really think that, you know, I'm old enough to remember the 1960s. I think we're going to go back to a 1960s era of protests and verbalization here in the United States where people stand up for themselves, hopefully in a peaceful manner, but protest more and more and more to, you know, to get their concerns out. Dare I say we become more European in our thinking as far as, you know, they'll protest anything. It's raining outside. Let's go have a protest on it or a march on it. I think the U.S. is heading that direction.
Are you holding hands more these days? You talk about the uneasiness with markets and currencies. Are the nervousness, how do you address that with clients?
It's always there. It's a risk. Mm-hmm. And I address it as a risk. And there are things that you can do and tools that you can use to address that risk and to mitigate that risk. And let's educate ourselves around that. And that's why, you know, when I jokingly say the foreign exchange chapters move from the back of the finance book to the front, that's the education process that I think is the opportunity that we have here. That nervousness, all that nervousness is, are people starting to realize what the risks really are. And in the U.S., we tend to be somewhat behind our overseas counterparties when it comes to understanding that risk. As that moves into the spotlight, people are going to want to be educated on it. And that's the opportunity that we have here. You know, other than that, risks always exist. I mean, this sort of flares up and goes back. The risks are always out there. It's just a matter of, well, the risks are low enough where I'm not going to move to educate myself. Now it's coming on everybody's radar screen.
Is there an opportunity here for investors to make money in these markets as they go up and down and sort of this?
Always. Yeah. I mean, whether the dollar is going up, whether the dollar is going down, whether the funds are flowing from the Bund market over in Germany into the Canadian equity market or down to Mexico, it doesn't matter. All of that's going to flow through the foreign exchange markets. But it's going to give a very good indication of where capital is flowing out of and where it's flowing into. Those are opportunities. You know, if you can keep your finger on those the pulse of that flow, and you can identify early on where those flows are going, you're in an opportunity to make money in that in your investments. So, yeah, I mean, but whether it's going up or down, doesn't matter. The idea is that the money's moving, and that's what's exciting.
And, Don, I noticed you didn't bring your crystal ball in today. I was going to ask if you had any predictions moving forward. Probably should kind of hold on for a while on that, maybe.
Well, at my age, I'm into principal preservation versus speculation. So my whole idea is a little bit more conservative than, you know, it was, say, 20 or 30 years ago. I'm a big U.S. dollar bull. I mean, as you know, I'm very bullish the United States. I like our equity markets. I like our term interest rate structure, our monetary policy stance. I think the U.S. is going to be pretty much the only game in town for a fairly long while, and it's going to help lead the world or the globe, at least the westernized industrial world, you know, out of the depths and along with it. So I'm very bullish America. That's equities. That's bond. That's the whole. It's everything. Very encouraged by that. At some point in time, you should look overseas, you know, at my crystal ball, you know, but not yet. You know, that's a little bit premature right now. We've still got a long way to go, you know, with the U.S. investments and where we are right now.
Love the red, white, and blue optimism, Don. Good to talk with you, and look forward to having you back.
Steve, thank you.
Don Lloyd is the Senior Vice President and Manager of Capital Markets at Associated Bank of Foreign Exchange, Rate Swaps, Commodity Derivatives. Again, the dollar gained almost 1% from Thursday's lows against all of the world currencies. Remember, you can listen to more of our thought leader conversations online. Just click into WGNradio.com, our Associated Bank thought leader conversations every Thursday here on The Opening Bell. You can follow Associated Bank at Associated Biz. And again, our past conversations at WGNradio.com.
Now, WGN Radio's daily conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is The Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome back to the program. 5:39 now on the Thursday edition of the show, the business of travel in our segment this morning. And we're happy to welcome in Anna Sophia Lanksener. She's with the Tourism Board of Mexico. She's the Midwest Director for the Mexico Tourism Board. And Anna, good to have you with us this morning.
Hola, good morning.
Well, we're all sitting here kind of freezing in Chicago. And boy, some of these Mexican vacations look absolutely wonderful. Tell us about adventure and travel to Mexico. What's hot right now in Mexico?
Well, right now, Mexico is hotter than here, that's for sure. There are a couple of destinations that are definitely our sun and sand destinations, which will surely bring some warmth to your heart and maybe a really good tan. So talking about Los Cabos, you can even ride camels in the desert in Los Cabos. It makes for a pretty good vacation with kids or a romantic getaway. If we go a little bit further down, but to the Pacific, we could go to Mazatlan, or why not take a romantic and very colorful vacation to Guadalajara.
In our first segment, Anna, we were talking about exchange rates and money, and the pesos had quite a time recently. The dollar is pretty strong in some countries. Tell us about how this is having, what impact is this having on the ground in Mexico in terms of the cost that we would pay if we would come down?
Well, fortunately for us, if we live in the U.S., then we can really get a bang for our buck because now our dollars are worth a lot more. So for the same price, you get a lot more services and, of course, the warmth and hospitality of every Mexican tourism destination.
We were doing a little bit of numbers crunching ourselves here this morning, and according to the latest exchange rates, we're thinking, $4 to $27 in Mexico for a nice meal, $3 for a taxi here, but $1 in Mexico, maybe a $5 beer here would be just $1 in Mexico. So that makes for affordable travel to Mexico. Does that also translate into less expensive hotel stays, too?
It translates to absolutely everything. So I would really encourage you and your family, your audience, everybody that's listening out there, to check out some rates. There are amazing all-inclusive packages. And don't forget, even if you're in an all-inclusive package, there's so much more to see in destinations. And now that it's so affordable, you should definitely get out there and see more.
The notion of taking an adventure vacation to Mexico is one that I bet a lot of people would be interested in. We all like to lay on the beach and get a nice suntan at a resort, but what are the adventure-type vacations?
The adventure-type vacations, sometimes the word adventure scares us because we say, well, I'm a regular person. I'm not sure if that's for me. But when we say you can have an adventure in Mexico, it means that you can go, for example, in a 1930s-inspired train through the agave fields and go to the magical town of Tequila, or you could go through a beautiful wine and cheese route in the north of Mexico, similar to Napa Valley, but it's called the Valley of Guadalupe. So there's so much to see and so much to do in inland Mexico. We're really encouraging everybody to take this challenge and make an adventure into inland Mexico.
In recent years, Mexico's always ranked as the
top most visited destination. It's well-liked among visitors. Where is that ranking now, and why is it always at the top?
Well, that's an excellent question. Actually, just in 2014, we were ranked in number 15th worldwide. Today, we are number 9. So that just comes to speak of how much the country has grown in this sector. There's so much more connectivity, especially out of Chicago. I mean, you could basically have breakfast at home and enjoy a ceviche in the beach by lunchtime.
That sounds very enticing. So, and I have to ask you this question because the political nature of everything that we're talking about this week with the inauguration has maybe a lot of people thinking that what is the climate like in Mexico in terms of politics? Because we certainly know what it's like here. What are people saying in Mexico about us, and has that changed their welcoming nature?
About us? Well, people are saying the same thing. Bienvenido a casa. In Mexico, we're always happy to welcome everybody and anybody to our country. We are happy to have you there and always very appreciative of anybody's business.
The Mexico Tourism Board obviously has a lot of information about the best places to visit. Can you also help arrange a trip? Let's say I want to come and visit. Are there places on your website where I can go and see all of the possible locations?
Yes, of course. Actually, our website has information about all of our destinations in Mexico and special experiences. You can go to visitmexico.com and learn a lot more.
And Anna, do you have any advice for people? I mean, if you had to maybe give us one piece of travel advice for Mexico and then also your recommendation on where the best place would be.
Absolutely. My best advice would be do it. Just grab your stuff, pack up and go. Even if it's a holiday weekend or just a regular weekend, there is always something to do. It's warmer for sure, and you'll have a great time.
Anna Sophia Langsener, she's the director, Midwest director of the Mexico Tourism Board. You can visit at visitmexico.com. Anna, thanks for being with us this morning.
Thank you, Stephen.
You're listening to The Opening Bell on 720 WGN.
Good morning. Welcome back to the program on the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk this morning. Dow futures now negative off about 9 points. S&P and NASDAQ futures negative as well. Crude oil, $51.45 a barrel. Latest on commodities and agriculture now. Good morning, Orion Samuelson.
Steve, good morning. Greetings from Champaign, just a few blocks away from Assembly Hall at the University of Illinois. And today, again, for the folks at Farm Law, I'll be appearing on a program of marketing and outlooks and information about the latest technology to serve agriculture. It's the event we attended in Des Moines on Tuesday, and we're in Champaign today with the crew to do that. But probably the big news is, if it is finally confirmed, the news that the Trump administration has picked its Secretary of Agriculture. According to members of the Transition Committee, Sonny Perdue, former governor of Georgia, involved in agriculture. And talking to another Georgian at the Farm Bureau Convention last week in Phoenix, Arizona, he told me that he knows Sonny Perdue very well. And that's Zippy Duval, president of the American Farm Bureau. And he said he thought that the former governor of Georgia would make a good Secretary of Agriculture. Hasn't been totally confirmed by the Transition Committee, but it looks like Sonny Perdue will be Secretary of Agriculture. Pretty good day in the markets yesterday. We saw soybeans again move higher, and we saw the live cattle futures move higher. It's the third day in a row that live cattle futures have moved up, and it's the fourth day in a row that soybeans have advanced because of growing concern over rains in the soybean production area of Argentina. That's my report. Have a great day. I'm Orion Samuelson from Champaign.
Thanks, Orion. You have a great day as well. Now the Associated Bank Market Desk outlook for this Thursday, January 19th. The Labor Department's going to report today on how many people filed for unemployment benefits last week. The Commerce Department reports on new U.S. home construction in December. Freddie Mac releases this week's mortgage rates. Union Pacific reports quarterly financial results. American Express as well in there. Federal Reserve Chair Janet Yellen speaks again today about the economic outlook and monetary policy at the Stanford Institute for Economic Policy Research. Quarterly statistics on the economic activity generated by 71 major industry groups during the third quarter will also be released today, as well as GDP by industry lists from that report. Also, this is President Obama's last full day in office. Thousands of people expected to gather outside of the White House to thank the outgoing president for his accomplishments in two terms in office. That's expected at about 2 o'clock Central Time today. Confirmation hearing. Senate Energy and Natural Resources Committee considers Rick Perry to be Secretary of Energy. Senate Finance Committee holds a hearing to consider the nomination of Steven Mnuchin to head the U.S. Treasury Department. The annual Sundance Film Festival takes place in Park City, Utah. The festival, started by Hollywood legend Robert Redford, is one of the premier showcases of independently made dramas and documentaries. Some of those things could move the markets today as we head through this Thursday, January 19th.